Welcome in to the Friday, June 2, 2023. This is Market Plus, and this is Elaine Cubb on a livestock week.
Yeah.
A lot of livestock questions this week, and that was even before today. But we're just going to pick right up about fundamentals and money. One thing we didn't quite get into, but I know you look at all sorts of things. Let's start with Mitch in Iowa here. How much of the trend downward in commodities the last several weeks do you attribute to money flow over real fundamentals? What does that mean moving forward?
That's a good question, and I think you can attribute it to sort of maybe just like a doldrums or a lack of money flow or a lack of story, or perhaps even an investment community that was, you know, was still pretty freaked out about a new interest rate rise. And then we had a jobs report on Friday that was not great, and then that actually turns out to be bullish for the markets because it means that the Federal Reserve is less likely to boost interest rates. So I think Friday was sort of proved this point, is that the money flow wasn't really doing anything there for a while, and it's ready to come back in when it gets an excuse to.
Well, that jobs report's actually mixed when you look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's because, not that I mean, bad to begin
but
with.
But I mean, 339,000 yeah. jobs, and then it's like, but then how did we rise unemployment 3/10
yeah.
of a point?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it brings
it's
into the
to
fact.
It's enough to be an excuse, yeah.
Well, yeah, and it brings in, we had a question about excuses and things. It seems to be one, there's always some excuse for something else.
Yeah.
Is this
love
an
it.
Excuse on money flow? Oh, you love it?
Yeah, I mean, I love any excuse not to raise interest rates. Sure, like who doesn't? Yeah,
I get you. Yeah. I get you. All right, let's get back to that livestock. Let's go Scott in Wisconsin here. He wants to know how sustainable is $1.80 to $1.90, even $2 fat cattle, in the near future.
Ooh, $2. I mean, I guess we should be aiming for that. I you know, let's not get greedy. I think it's relatively sustainable. So as I mentioned on the main show, like packers, you don't really pencil out at a profit if the choice cutout is 306 or whatever it is and they're paying 180 for these cattle. But what are they going to do? Stop slaughtering them? Of course, they're going to continue to buy what they can buy and pay what they have to pay from the feedlots. So I think the feedlots can continue to press this and certainly stay steady here. I don't think it was a one-week flash in the pan.
I'm looking at the number again. 555 was the week rise, 3%. Who would have thought that a $5
and you're
week,
talking about futures.
And I'm talking futures, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm talking about August cattle. The cash is really what kind of exploded. So at what point do people not even dip their toe in that futures and just stick to cash?
Oh, no. I think the futures will catch up, and this sort of caught up on Friday. It has expanded trading limits now. I mean, I think it'll start to reflect reality. I think it'll show up on Monday and start getting closer to the 180 number, yeah.
All right. Well, Kennedy Farms in Oklahoma then asks the follow-up to what you're saying. Can the feeder and live cattle find a top before the end of the year, or are we about as high as we can expect?
Oh, another great question. I mean, I do think that these numbers are sustainable. I think they're very real numbers. I think they're absolutely justified by supply and demand. I don't know that I'm necessarily looking for a top much higher than that, because at some point you can't squeeze blood from a stone from the grocery shopper, let's say.
But at what point?
I don't know.
I mean, is it the grocery shopper that's going to just stop?
But they haven't stopped yet. Yeah, maybe we can just continue to.
The story about, we had a question in the main program about the chicken and the pork. I noticed it again. I've noticed it for weeks at a time here in the grocery store about cheaper pork.
Mm.
But there wasn't the line in front of the pork counter.
Yeah, exactly. But it depends on how cheap it got. I mean, and I also don't think that that pork market is going to collapse necessarily because of Prop 12. I mean, I think there will be definitely a noticeable spread between compliant and non-compliant pork or hogs in the hog market. But I don't think that your average grocery store consumer in the Midwest is going to discover a sudden glut of pork necessarily. This could be famous last words. But that is not actually my prediction. But if that did happen, I mean, maybe people would start moving away from beef, but
We may see the story next week in the national media that talks about these cattle prices. Is that the type of thing that finally, because, you know, it's always once it shows up on the, you know, the nightly news or the national newspaper that
cattle prices aren't going to.
You don't think cattle prices will?
No, I mean, beef prices would. Beef prices is a headline that a newspaper reader would care about. Cattle prices, who cares?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I did cut you off about hogs.
That's okay.
But I just want to go back one more thing. At what point Do you see, because I thought by now we would have seen a hedge and maybe expand some herds.
Well,
do we know anything about numbers yet?
No, and I don't think that there's any optimism for that. I mean, maybe somebody else has a different opinion about this, but the underlying story behind all of this Prop 12 stuff, even without that, China is buying. We had a very disappointing export sales report this week for pork, and China is just, their outlook is to purchase less pork for the United States. So there's bearishness underlying even the short-term bearishness. So no, I don't think that expansion of the swine herd is something to be looking for.
That might have to be the tweet, bearishness.
Oh, dear.
Bearishness. I can't even say it. Yeah. I'm not going to try it again. Let's go to Phil in Dresden. He always wants to make sure he gets a question to you. He wants to know, I was looking forward to that seasonal high in corn around June 18 and early July for beans. What's it going to take this year for that seasonality to happen?
Well, it would have to be a completely different kind of year. I mean, that's sort of the general expectation. If you have a normal year with normal supply and demand, and then you get the most risk premium at this time of year when the crop is at the greatest risk. But, you know, the 2023-24 marketing year is always going to be in the shadow of our very strange and short supply 2022-23 marketing year. So I don't think that we have a reason to expect a normal seasonal pattern necessarily.
When does normal ever return?
Oh, someday. I mean, like, once we no longer have a triple dip La Nina, you know, like when you have normal production throughout the globe, which does sometimes happen, then you can expect normal seasonal behavior.
She could argue South America helped get us back to a normal production year and a global stock issue.
Eventually. Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah.
Once it fills all the voids. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about oil. Daniel asked us on Facebook. Oil seems to be priced low. Is that due to recession?
Ooh. Oil is, okay, so it is really nice from a farm input perspective that we do see these prices coming down for oil and other energies, and fertilizer even has been coming down lately, not this week, kind of sort of bottoming out here. Is it recession? I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I think actually when you look at the overall economy, it's better. I mean, like going back to the jobs report thing, it's not as dire as it would warrant the recession word.
Right, but people still look at gas prices. We're not that far removed from a spike. A lot can change in a year. A lot can change in 3 months. Supplies can change. People go on vacation. Right now, it seems like we're going on vacation this summer. That story might reemerge again on one of those drivers of eating into demand or adding to the demand.
No, you're right. And I think, the gas prices certainly are perhaps a reflection of that, but it may just be a matter of refineries finally catching up from just coming back down from their really constrained moments earlier this year.
You mentioned natural gas. Just needed to say, we show the chart during the main program, 218, that's off 9% this week. You also wanted to talk a little bit about fertilizer. You mentioned it had maybe bottomed.
Well,
or pause.
But it's still elevated. Yeah, let's say pause. So it has been coming down since the highs we saw during the peak of the Russian war concerns. It has been coming down. But I don't think it's ever going to come back down to what it was before 2021. Unfortunately, I think they will remain elevated. They're certainly above five-year highs. You've got dry urea around $6.25 a ton, which moved up this week, probably based on South American buying more than U.S. buying at this point. But, I think they will remain elevated, and I think we may have gotten all of the pullback that we might hope to get from that.
You sure you don't want to resell those calves that you sold last
I'd
week?
I'd sell them every week if I could, you know?
You could. All right, Elaine, I appreciate the time and the insight. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Paul.
It's Elaine Cubb, everybody. Next week, we take the temperature of the pork industry after the Supreme Court ruling, and we'll have market analysis with Ted Seifert. Thank you so much for joining us right here on Market Plus, and have a great week.